Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Y'all remember this?
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What is your nickname, Tavondre?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Shout out to my grandma, Miss Ebony. She named me Meatloaf.
The Meatloaf!
What do you think? Wouldn't that be great if that's the way you're introduced in the NFL? Wouldn't that be great?
I would love it.
The Meatloaf!
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN investigative reporter Tisha Thompson, chairman and CEO of Wasserman Media Group, Casey Wasserman. Coming up, 2024 NFL draft prospect Darius Robinson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the show on the air. Darius Robinson of Missouri football is in our green room. We'll bring him out. We'll talk to one of the top defensive prospects in all the land for the draft. That's less than a month away right now. Pro days are happening. Drake May is throwing at UNC's pro day. Apparently, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll of the Giants are not there. They're at Washington's pro day and Michael Penix's pro day, and there they are up on the screen right there, chit-chatting with the defensive coordinator in Washington, Steve Belichick, right now. The Giants have a presence at UNC, but Daboll went to see Penix. So sources say the team will work out and meet with Drake May in the coming days. That's Mike Garafolo of NFL Network fame. So lots to talk about in future days on what's going on in the draft. Giants looking at Penix.
Got some Michael Penix news, too.
What do you have over there, T.J. Jefferson?
I don't think he threw, but he ran a 40 and he did a vertical jump. So Phil Yates said there was a few different stopwatches, but they had him clocked between 4.56 and 4.59, and he jumped 36.5-inch vertical.
No, I mean, that's an excellent time for him.
All right, so Barry's officially a
4.53 on one watch, 4.56 at the Huskies Pro. I mean, that's an excellent time for him. And look, it's going to come down to the medical for him. Without question, he had the most impressive throwing day at the combine, without a doubt. And the ball just came out of his hands in a way that it didn't come out of the hands of anybody else. And I say that, you know, pounding the table for J.J. McCarthy as I do every second I get. You know how I feel about him. Mm-hmm. But I'll shoot you straight. When Penix was working out at the combine, I'm like, that guy right there has a hose. And not just that, just throws a pretty ball. Like it's an NFL film spiral out of his hand every single time. It didn't come out poorly once. He looked great. He looked great. And neck up. I mean, he had me concerned that Michigan, you know, defensively had a pro-style defense. And as we know, with the number of prospects that they had shown up at the combine, pro players all over the place. And Penix can really figure stuff out pre-snap, which is what you want out of a rookie quarterback. And he's 24 also, 3 years older than McCarthy. So you got a whole – and he's left-handed also. Like, it's totally different styles of quarterbacks that you have. And if he can run a 4.5 as well, that's pretty sweet. So he is an intriguing prospect. The only question is where do you place him? You know, did the Giants really take him sixth overall? Because the bottom line is, if you don't think he's going to be there in the second round, the Giants might choose somebody else top of the draft, like Malik Nabers. Not a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting there at six. They might trade up at three to see if Drake May's the guy anyway. Going from six to three is not that large of a jump. In the same way that, you know, if the Vikings love Drake May, that's going to be a significant jump. You know, that might cost him a first-rounder next year's draft, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a draft idea where the Vikings would trade up to three by, you know, swapping picks at the top of the draft and then flipping them in next year's first round as well. And then also coughing up this year's first round pick too, that they just acquired. It would cost a lot. It would cost a lot.
I mean, but if that's your guy and you feel he's worth it, then.
Right. Or the one I saw was trading up to 4 to get J.J. McCarthy, where with Arizona, which also has 2 first round picks, because Arizona has 27th overall, right? That Houston Texans traded that one to Arizona in last year's draft. And they would swap those picks. Minnesota would then swap those picks 4 and 27 with 11 also going to Arizona this year. And also Arizona gets one next year. So Arizona doesn't have to drop too far down.
Okay.
So there's a lot of machinations going on. But the question is Penix, do you use it there or do you trade back up into the first round at the end and try and get him in the same spot like, say, Baltimore got LJ back
at
in the day?
At the very end of it, yeah.
So that's a conversation there. In the NBA last night, I mean, Draymond Green got ejected 4 minutes into the game.
Shocker.
Because he couldn't stop cursing at the refs. And everybody involved said Green deserved it, including, you know, Coach Steve Kerr, and said he'll bounce back from it. And the Warriors were able to survive. But Draymond Green cannot get himself kicked out of games with his mouth or his legs or whatever the hell he's doing. He just can't do it. And I feel like, again, where it's Groundhog Day, where we're talking about this guy again. And I just don't know if he, you know, he didn't speak after the game last night. He spoke on his podcast today.
Yeah.
So now he's using his reaction to getting ejected in a game that could have cost his team significantly had Andrew Wiggins not had one of his best games of the year. And Steph Curry bouncing back from one of his poorer shooting nights of the year to score late and put the Orlando Magic to bed, yep, as he likes to do. But Draymond Green is now using his reaction to getting kicked out of games that he knows he shouldn't as content for his own podcast, yeah, which is totally nuts to me. And the only thing that matters, in my estimation, is the way his teammates will react to it. And last night in the game, they did not lose. They bounced back because Draymond can go on his pod as he did today and say he shouldn't be doing that, and he knows he shouldn't be doing that.
I said what I said. I deserve to be kicked out at that point. It was 4 minutes in, dude. Like, how can you be that upset 4 minutes into the game?
Well, I don't know. One of my favorite YouTube videos is Earl Weaver getting kicked out of a game in the top of the first inning because of a balk call. That's one of my favorite YouTube videos. It's not the it's your team being in a situation where your playoff lives are on the line. Your teammates need you. You know your teammates need you. You know you have a hair trigger. You know that's a problem to the point where you're now making commercials for cars and phones. I mean, we're going to see that commercial probably tonight because it's all throughout the entire NCAA tournament where he's wearing his Michigan State Spartans jersey, mm-hmm, and he's in a phone store talking about how he makes poor decisions and how you as a phone user should make better decisions. You know, I mean, and we're going to see that commercial tonight. And you could poke fun of it all you want and try and rehabilitate your corporate image all you want. But when it comes down to it, your teammates need you on the court and you couldn't control your language and you got ejected. And that's my concern. Clearly he's never going to change. It's how do his teammates react to it?
I mean, Steph looked.
Well, Steph started crying, it appeared, last night. This is what Steph Curry, in the game, after he got ejected, this is what Steph Curry had to say afterwards.
All I say is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, he'll be available. That's what's got to happen, especially at this point in the year. So it's a tough way to start the game, but I am extremely proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way that they did.
Because they didn't have Kuminga either. And you could tell, like, he's choosing his words carefully, and because he knows he needs Draymond from here on out, too.
He's got to be so frustrated, though.
Well, so the question is why did he look like he kept shaking his head like he couldn't believe it. And he, at one point, you know, bent over, he hit his face in his jersey where it looked like he was getting really emotional, like he was on the verge of tears. And Kerr was like patting him on the back to make sure he was. And then he had a poor shooting night after that. But when it came down to it, he was there in the end, and he came up with the shots in the end.
Of course.
But I kind of feel like it's, you know, we're in the same place as always. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's got his jackets. The question is how does he want to be remembered? And I don't know if it matters to him or not. You know, I honestly don't.
And also, you've got people questioning Steph Curry's leadership right now.
Well,
right?
That's crazy.
And it's crazy because now, like, his actions are starting to maybe affect Steph's, you know, his Hall of Fame resume. Like, obviously, as a player, he's going in. But now people are starting to question Steph's leadership.
That's nuts.
It's crazy, but it's what's going on right now.
What's he supposed to do? Well, here's my answer to it, okay? Here's what my answer to it would be. Because when I watched it back, because I got the alert that Draymond was ejected. And then I was,
did the game even start?
And then I was dejected because, you know, I have him in my fantasy semifinal right now. So he let me down too, if that matters or not.
Did you hide your head in your jersey?
I did not, because I'm not my, you know, I was able to go on with my life. Steph Curry's playoff life this year is hanging in the balance. Certainly with the Houston Rockets unable to lose a game right now, 10 in a row. Right. So they're right there. They're not falling off. They need to keep winning basketball games. But when I saw it, then I hit the watch button on my alert on my phone to see what happened. And I kept thinking to myself, why is nobody from Golden State pulling him away? Like, he's clearly in a state where he cannot regulate. And I know I sound like I'm talking about a child. But in that situation, that's what it looks like to me. He was not in a mindset to regulate. So they need to regulate for him. They need to pull him away. And if he starts, you know, flailing his arms at them, then maybe that will snap him too, to realize that he's, you know, flailing his arms at his own teammate. But he was not regulating well at that point in time. And reading lips, it was just like, what? Those are some magic words coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he said them. And I guess if what Curry's standing right there, and if you're saying people are saying he's not a good leader because he's just standing there letting it happen, I will tell you that what is he supposed to do? Maybe now he and the rest of the team needs to just step in and pull him away as if he's like getting ready to punch somebody. Because his words are carrying that sort of weight, and he cannot do to his teammates what he did last night and think, and for us to sit there and think, oh, well, the Warriors are going to go on a run here. I saw that last night, and I thought to myself, there's no way this team is going to go on the run that I hope they can, which is a damn shame. Unless it's just like the old 78 Yankees, that the only way for them to actually perform well, or 77 Yankees, is to perform well, is to have the circus around them. And, you know, he was hugging everyone when they went in the locker room. Then he said nothing, and the only thing we heard from him is on his own podcast. So he's certainly a content creator, not just for his own pod, I guess the last 6 minutes of this show. Because there are some other great things to talk about in the NBA, like the Lakers going on the run that they're looking like right now. Rui Hachimura with a double-double again in the 30-point game and LeBron coming back and the Lakers looking like a team that can go on a nice little run like last year. And we're seeing what's going on in the Eastern Conference as well.
And your Knicks just put up a buck 45 yesterday.
Well, I know.
45 points.
Deuce McBride, they need to call him Trey. Put up 9 last night. So, Draymond just can't do it. And it's just like, here we are again talking about it.
And you said, Rich, that maybe they feel now they want to pull him away. This pulling away should have been done 4 or 5 seasons ago. Because now it's at the point where what can you do?
Well, he
stop?
Can't regulate himself. I mean, honestly, it's just in the foul.
It wasn't 4 minutes, Rich. It wasn't even 4 full minutes. Like, how can you be that upset that you're going to get yourself tossed out that early in the game? It doesn't make sense, and I'm sure these guys are just fed up.
Draymond, Derek in Missouri, we'll take your call, and then we'll bring out our in-studio guest, Darius Robinson of Missouri Football. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. First and foremost, give my best to Brock, man. Hopefully everything's okay on his end.
Yep.
And I got to say, the segment with Larry David last week was rolling on the floor remarkable. It was amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. It was a blast, and having Jeff Garland here as well. And all I can say again is this: the final 2 episodes of Curb are as good as any other, and I think folks will be somewhat satisfied, to say the least, about the finale a couple Sundays from now. And there's a monster cameo coming up this Sunday, so stay tuned for that.
I can't wait for this.
What's on your mind, Derek?
Well, we were talking about Draymond, of course, and that's the first thing that popped up on my screen this morning on ESPN on Get Up. And it's the same thing every time, Rich. It's something, I mean, this has been going on for years, it seems like, with this man. I mean, don't get me wrong, the guy's a great player, a great athlete, this and that. But the fact of the matter is, someone's got to stop and say to themselves, what do we need to do to make this better for this man? It's getting to the point where it's becoming just more and more nonsense every single time with him. And it comes to a point where I'm thinking something's going to happen where it's not going to come between an official or a player that he gets involved with, like with Gobert and Jurkic last couple of months ago, to where what if fans get involved? Like what we saw with Rodman years ago when he kicked the cameraman or the Mayweather in the Palace in 04. I'm surprised it hasn't come to that point where it has happened with this guy yet. If anything,
well,
that's
here's
my take.
I appreciate it, Derek. Thanks for hanging on for as long as you did for your take, and I figured bring you in since we're talking about it. At least the good news here is that he only cost himself last night. Didn't cost his teammates, and didn't cost anybody else. He didn't lash out his anger physically at an opponent, which is different from his last couple times.
True that.
So, which is why he's just only going to be sat for last night. He'll be back. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back here, we're going to bring out of our green room one of the top defensive players available in this year's draft, Darius Robinson of Missouri Football, when we come back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, our radio audience will rejoin us in just a couple of minutes, and it'll be the second time then that I introduce a guy who is going to be one of the top defensive players off the board in this year's draft from Missouri football. Good to see you, Darius Robinson. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. So before the radio audience returns, let's show off something that that we can see, and that is your gear that you have on. So I don't know if we could take a shot directly on. Okay, so now you need to move to your, just lean to, there we go. Okay. So that is... That's your, those are your initials.
Yes, sir. The D and the R. I got a merch line.
Merch line.
Yes, sir. We
what
got
are you
sweatshirts, t-shirts, sweatpants, shorts, hats, everything.
Okay.
Man.
Do you make them for, you know, mortal sized people?
yeah, most definitely. We get you some merch, man. No problem.
Extra mediums is what he's asking.
I feel bad. I'm asking a college, soon to be professional athlete for free stuff, but I'm in the media.
Yeah.
And so that's the way it works.
Yes, sir.
What size can we get for you, TJ?
I'm like a 2X, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you got those hanging around, you know.
You must make 2X.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
What size are you?
A 2X.
Well, you're not wearing 2X right now.
No, unless, this is 2X.
Well, if I had your arms, I would wear one size smaller. Just to show that off. The extra medium. So how'd you come up with the logo?
Really, that's just how I write my name with the D, and then just putting the R right under it so they can give it a clean look.
All right, and how can people get the gear?
You can find the link on my Instagram page. It's Darius Robinson Pro Shop. Mm-hmm. And if you want to buy some merch, you know, that would be much appreciated.
Look at you already branching out with merch.
Yes,
I kind of dig it. All right, so Darius Robinson is here on the Rich Eisen Show. I got tons of questions that I'm waiting for the radio audience to return, and I'm getting ready to ask you right now. So we're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by as Darius Robinson of Missouri football getting ready to be drafted into the National Football League right here on the program. It is good to see you or meet you because I saw you at the Combine. What was your Combine experience like?
It was awesome. It was great meeting all the NFL coaches and personnel, and then also being with, realize this is my draft class going into the NFL, so just getting cool and getting used to those guys and making experiences.
Yeah, I mean, at the Combine, it's pretty much 95% of the draft is at the Combine.
Literally.
And or should just say 95% of Combine players get drafted.
Right.
And you're just out of order. We'll find out in what order you do get drafted.
Yes, sir.
Who did you meet with at the Combine?
I met with over 20 teams at the Combine, so just ranging all the 20 teams. And it was a great experience, honestly, because each organization you could tell does something different about how they process and how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So me, I'm just an avid learner, so I was just taking notes and learning as much about them as much as they want to learn about me.
Right. Now, we spoke to Xavier Worthy at the Combine after he broke the 40-yard dash record.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he said that he was blown away by meeting Andy Reid because he looked just like the coach from Madden.
Literally.
So,
yeah, he looked just like it. He's just like... You could tell, like, a guy that knows football, knows, like, what he's listening for. Just the whole Chiefs organization from the D.C. to the defensive line coach, very detailed. Like, that's it. You can tell they got great things going on over there.
Who else stuck out for meeting you?
Coach Harbaugh, honestly.
Which one? There's two of them.
Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
Well, both of them, honestly.
Jeff,
but
right.
Jim, because last time I talked to him when I was in high school, so that was a kind of reconnect talking to him. And then John Harbaugh, all the coaches. That's the thing, like, watching these guys on, like, the NFL on Sundays and then actually be face-to-face with them and realize, like, I could be on their team. Like, it's just, like a blessing to be there,
Did you meet with the Steelers as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you met Tomlin?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's wired up, like, all the time. Like, he's just looking at me the whole time, like, wired up.
What do you mean?
Like, he's just, like, you can tell he loves football. Like, just the way he carries himself, like, the questions he asks, very specific. And he's a great coach. He gave me some great advice as well.
What did he tell you?
He was saying, like, during this draft process, make sure you work out and stay on your routine, because the worst thing that can happen is you get drafted and you're not in shape or not prepared. So just work out and stay in shape.
That was his advice to you?
Yes, sir.
Now, when you say you got the sense he loved football, like, what gave you that indication?
Like, when he was just watching my tape and, like, the questions he was asking me about, do I mind which hand I put down when I rush? Like, that's something a lot of people, like a casual fan, wouldn't understand. Like, there's a difference between guys rushing with their right hand down or left hand down. But this past year, I played the field end, so I rushed with both hands down, so I feel comfortable rushing with other hand, with other foot, just line up, put my cleats on the ground.
Right, and then was there any because I know the way it's kind of like speed dating, if anybody's ever done that before, where you get 15 minutes, right? And then you got to go from one room to the next, right?
Right.
Is it in the same setup in that hotel with like the indoor pool that's in there?
We were upstairs in the Colts Stadium, and we were just going through like the
that's where it was.
Yeah, the sections, and just going like literally back and forth. It was an awesome experience.
So, and did they put you on a grease board and have you draw plays?
Yeah, they had me draw up like our like main blitzes at Mizzou, my favorite third down calls, and then just watch their tape about what does their defense do, and then watch my tape and see how I would fit in with them.
Yeah, because it used to be in an old hotel. Well, not an old hotel. It used to be in the hotel I think you stay in now.
Again, yeah, the trains.
You're the trains, right?
Yeah. But we walked across and then went into the suites to do the interviews.
Because they used to just reconfigure like a room that anybody would normally be staying in for with their family on vacation 51 other weeks of the year.
Wow.
And like I and they would just reconfigure like a chair here and a light here and a grease board there, and they would turn the lights down to kind of make it to set the moon and really like try to intimidate people. Did any teams try and get in your kitchen?
Not too bad. I mean, you gotta think, you're gonna have good plays, then you have some bad plays, but you know, you gotta man up, own it, and move on.
They would bring up bad plays and say what happened.
They'd bring up, be like, what were you thinking here, or what was your thought process? But I didn't let it face football. Nobody's ever going to grade out 100% no matter how well you play.
Darius Robinson from Missouri here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so you mentioned moments ago that it was kind of a reunion with Jim Harbaugh because you're from Southfield, Michigan, right?
Yes, sir.
And so did he try to recruit you?
Yeah, they offered me at Michigan.
They did. So what happened?
Man, it's a long story, but it just didn't work out for the both of us. And then I chose to go to Mizzou. Honestly, because there was a coach at Michigan, Coach Afadale, he recruited me there. He's from Michigan. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, you know, all the NFL players play in the SEC. So what's the next best opportunity to help me, you know, reach my goals? So I chose Mizzou and been the best 5 years of my life.
Is it true you started playing football kind of late?
Yes, sir. So I played Little League, and then I stopped about third or fourth grade because I really wanted to be a basketball player. And then I quickly realized, you know, 6'5 isn't that tall in basketball.
Not tall enough, right?
Yeah, so then I started playing again my junior year, and then I was blessed to get those offers, and then chose Mizzou. And then I early enrolled because I knew I was so behind the curve. Like, I had to get stronger, actually learn football. Because, you know, high school, you just run it out there. Mm-hmm. But now you actually play with structure, so... Yes, sir.
So, Little League.
Yes, sir. Southfield Jayhawks.
Jayhawks. Yes, and sir. So you stopped playing baseball, or you kept playing baseball?
No, I kept playing baseball, basketball, playing all the sports. I just realized, you know, we got to find a way to get a scholarship. And, you know, football is the best opportunity.
Is it true you were a catcher in baseball?
Yeah.
Were you like a 6-foot catcher or something?
Literally,
like that?
Yeah. I was a catcher in first base. I love playing catcher because... Yeah, you're right. I was a big catcher.
I mean, you could block the plate when it was legal to do such a thing. But, I mean, being a 6-foot cat, I mean, that's a pretty big for a kid, for sure, to get down behind the plate. But you like doing it, huh?
Yeah, I like doing it. I used to watch Rodriguez. He played on the Tigers a long time
Pudge,
ago.
Pudge, sure.
Yeah, Pudge Rodriguez. And then he's the catcher, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the catcher. Hell, Pudge Rodriguez. I remember watching him.
Yeah, you chose a good one, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
For the Tigers, I remember that, too, for
Cabrera,
sure. Yeah,
Cabrera, Verlander, Scherzer, Chris Fielder. We had a squad in Detroit.
You sure did.
Curtis Granderson. Yeah, we had some great guys.
So you're a kid just getting tickets to go to Comerica and watching the Tigers?
Yeah, I would go sometimes with my mom, but it's awesome. I love Comerica Park. You know, Detroit, all the stadiums are right next to each other.
Look at you. And so you're going to, I don't know why it just dawned on me. You're going to hear your name called in Detroit.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you?
It means everything. This would be a dream come true because, like I said, I had come to the game a little bit later. So I have fell in love with the process and I love football. And the thing, like you said, being in my hometown, like, it means a lot to me. So just making sure these 28 days, just working as hard as I can each and every day. So when I get there, it's time to go.
Are you planning to be at the draft? What are your
right
plans?
Right now, we're trying to figure that out, just waiting to see how everything plays out. But if not, I'll just have like a party at my house with my family.
Is it still in Michigan?
Yes, sir.
Is everyone still located in Michigan?
Yeah, my family's still in Michigan. So just waiting to hear back, but just control what I control.
I mean, how cool is that? I mean, because the draft's never in Detroit. This is the first one ever
in
Detroit.
First ever, and it would be an amazing honor. So just working out, staying in shape, and see what happens.
Darius Robinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. So when we send you on to your rest of your Thursday, what's the next steps for you? Top 30 visits?
Yes, sir. So I have visits lined up from Sunday all the way to like April 9th.
Wow.
So just visit after visit after visit after visit. And that's why I say like each visit, you know, is very awesome because I'm learning from NFL coaches, NFL DCs about like football. So obviously I can only go to one team, but I can still pick up stuff from everybody to help improve my game going forward.
So where are you going? What's your first one?
Baltimore. Baltimore is on Easter, and then after that, it's just a long line.
One after another.
Yes,
is it all geographically set?
Yeah, my agent does
a
great job of having a structure, so I'm not going too far there or that. But, yes, yeah, structures. But that's the thing, like I said, learning and stay in shape while I'm on these visits because I can see how guys could quickly get out of shape because there's so much traveling. But I'm just going to be downstairs in the hotel every morning to make sure I get it in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just figuring out where you're going to work out. Make sure you're maintaining the right, you know, diet, clearly, because, you know, being on the road, I shouldn't ascribe my problems to you. But, I mean, you probably have a better metabolism than me. You know, you can probably digest it a little bit better than me. But I totally understand how you can kind of lose travel. So that's pretty good advice from Tomlin.
Yes, sir.
When you think about it now.
Yeah, it is, most definitely.
You know? So what will a team get if they draft you and then when they draft
They'll get a guy that's team first. I really believe in low ego, high output. So whatever the team needs me to do, and then also a versatile D lineman that can line up in any alignment and play fast and physical. But most importantly, be a great teammate and somebody you can count on.
Okay. Did you grow up a Lions fan? Or
yeah, I did. Watching Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. That whole crew, every Sunday, like when me and my mom would leave church, we'd cut the Lions game on and be on Fox. Mm. So those are my earliest memories of the Lions.
Okay. What if they draft you?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, their D-line, Hutchinson is elite. Like, I love watching Hutchinson on tape, their defense, the team, like, this would be an amazing opportunity, so we'll see what happens.
Maybe it would be meant for you to be a teammate of him since it didn't work out at the first stop.
Yeah, that would be crazy, you know, because he's somebody I definitely look up to and try to model my game after because he's a great player.
So who did you grow up watching? Because I assume, were you always defense?
Yeah, I was always defense.
Okay, so then who are you looking at then?
Like younger, you know, you have to look at Aaron Donald just because of how elite he is. And he's probably the best defensive lineman ever. And then as I got into ball more, I studied Max Crosby and Chris Jones a lot. I think I'm very similar. Like Chris Jones, like he can play the three and play a five technique. He's always using his hands. And then Max has such a high, like unbelievable motor. And how he uses his long arms and he's always turning his body when he rushes and stuff like that. But those are my two favorite players I study right now.
And what does it feel like for you when you sack a quarterback?
It's awesome because that's why you practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, literally for this one play. So it's just like, man, it's an awesome feeling. And you get hungry. You want to get more and more and more. But you got to stay disciplined in your defense and do whatever the coach asks you to the best of your ability.
Do you have a nickname?
D-Rob.
Okay.
D-Rob.
Okay. Yeah, the last guy we spoke to yesterday, Tavondre Sweat, said Meatloaf.
So, you know, Big Sweat.
Just different.
Yeah, Big Sweat. He's awesome. He's a great player. Yeah,
I mean, that's what's so cool, too. You must have met, you know, you met everybody.
The Combine, Big Sweat. He's powerful. I've never seen somebody with my own eyes, like, be that. He got, like, that power. Like, quicks, twitch, everything. He's a great player.
Yeah. So you met everybody, and now you're going to be going out in the National Football League, and you're trying to be better than all of them, be Defensive Rookie of the Year, and go try and crush it.
All right, that's the goal.
Well, good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you as well.
All right, so that's 2XL in the corner.
Okay.
Jay, you want to get in on this?
Single XL.
Okay,
single XL.
Don't lie to yourself, Jay.
Don't lie. Anytime, man. And you know, if you want to shoot a video, well, you've run your last 40. You don't have to run it. I'm running my 40 for St. Jude coming up in April.
Yes, sir. That's awesome, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And congrats on everything going on with you and your anything going on, charity work that you want to mention that you're involved with?
So, I have my Darius Robinson Helping Hands Foundation. And my goal is to do 3 events each year. And I haven't done any events this year because I'm just so focused on the drive stuff. But after I get settled, I'll just plan out 3 things. But in the past, I had a book bag drive where I purchased 100 book bags for the kids at my church and in the Columbia community. And then the Christmas drive, I raised $3,000 for three families in need. So just kind of sticking to stuff like that. But I got three events coming up this year after the draft and stuff.
Great. Find out where you're going and then start planting stakes in your new community.
Yes, sir.
Or maybe your hometown. Never know, man.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to seeing where you land, and I'll be thinking of you sitting on the NFL Network set draft night.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You bet. That's Darius Robinson right here. Where do they go to go get your gear? Where do we go to
my Instagram. I had the link in my bio, but it's DariusRobinsonProShop.com.
Okay. And what's your Instagram?
It's Darius Robinson. D-A-R-I-U-S Robinson. R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N.
Okay. Look at you spelling it out and everything. So, okay. At Darius Robinson. Check it out on Instagram right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Pleasure to meet you. I'll see you down the line.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, we're back on the Rich Eisen Show to wrap up this Thursday show in a sec.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I got a recruiting story. You want to hear a recruiting story?
Please.
You're saying Harbaugh's crazy. So I'm recruiting, right, for Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fire real?
It is definitely not real.
So I'm
it's a television set, Steve.
I'm recruiting back in Minnesota, and it's like January, all right? And it's snow, and it's cold, and everything like that.
That's when you were the HC of Cal. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So we're sitting around at a home visit, right? Family visit.
Yeah.
So the kids there, the mom and dad, little sisters are there, grandparents are there, and we're just kind of having hot chocolate, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, you know, we're talking about let's go to Cal, you know, it's a great school, the best in the world, and all that stuff.
Yes.
And so when you sit there for several hours, sometimes the conversation's good and sometimes it drags, all right? So it started to drag and I was running out of things to say, if you can imagine that.
Yeah, right.
And so there it was snowing out and it was cold and it was cool. It was just awesome being in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a cat sitting over by the fireplace,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like this fire.
Just like this
fake
fire. When it was a real fire, Rich.
Yeah.
And it was a cat and it was all curled up and it looked so cozy, so awesome.
Yeah.
And then conversation was dragging a little bit. And I went, ugh. Wouldn't you just love to be that cat right now? And everybody looked at the cat. And just as everybody looked, it rolled over. It started licking himself all over the place. Like, grandma looked at me like, what? I didn't get that kid, all right? It didn't go well after that.
Kind of went downhill.
Oh, yeah, but that cat.
Oh, my gosh.
That cat just kind of screwed me over a little bit. And he's like,
wow.
Timing is
looked
everything.
Like it's screwing itself over.
Oh, man.
You're telling me.
Cozy for a while.
YouTube.com for everything you need for the Rich Eisen Show /Rich Eisen. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is our page. Do us a favor and give us a follow on that spot. And if you missed any part of today's show, guess what? We're going to re-air on the Roku channel in about 19 minutes time when this show is all over. And then we'll be back on the air tomorrow, the fresh 3-hour show. And one of the things we'll be talking about tomorrow will be the March Madness reconvention tonight. Of events. We've got a quadruple header this evening. Two early games, staggered starts, and then two late games tonight. And then two more events tomorrow. So we'll have an Elite Eight over the weekend and then a Final Four by the end of the weekend, and then off we go. And I got five games that I look forward to the most. I popped them up there on our Instagram page and our Twitter page as well. And I'll tell you what, man, one of the games I'm looking forward to the most, number five on that list. You know, I don't. You want to give me? You want to give me any sort of NBA music?
What
you
NBA got?
Forget it. Don't worry about it. You know what? I'm kind of looking forward to this one, where I'm thinking that this is going to be of significant interest to a bunch of people, but I only put it number five on the list because of NC State taking on their next opponent, Marquette. I don't know how many people are interested in that, but to see NC State, an 11th seeded team, this is the lowest seeded team that's left in this tournament, and to see Marquette do what they've been doing ever since getting bounced in the Big East tournament, and prior to getting bounced in the Big East tournament by UConn, I kind of dig this. And then obviously if Houston advances and NC State upsets Marquette, to have an Elite Eight game be NC State versus Houston, and NC State in the role of underdog taking on Houston, having that as a matchup, and NC State going on a magical run to the Final Four through Houston, that is some powerful nostalgia, to say the least. And our friend DJ Burns Jr. was on the show earlier this week, was talking about how he's talked to Thurl Bailey and others from those teams from back in the day. So NC State versus Marquette is a Sweet 16 matchup that I'm looking forward to for sure. Then number four on the list, you want to pop it up there, would be outstanding. Alabama versus North Carolina, 4-1. Looking forward to seeing how North Carolina could continue on after losing to NC State, to see what we can do on that front. A 1-4 matchup is something that I'm particularly keen looking forward on that front. Then number three on my list of games that I'm looking forward to the most, Purdue versus Gonzaga. Gonzaga has made the Sweet 16 for 9 straight years. And obviously, Mr. Edey's coming to town. Gonzaga versus Purdue. And for those out there who think that Edey is good just because he's tall, you shouldn't be covering basketball, or you don't know basketball. That was some of the best Matt Painter sound bites that we heard this week. That's number three on my list of top Sweet 16 matchups that I'm looking forward to the most. Then there's Houston versus Duke. Can Duke be the one to keep Houston from making the Elite Eight and thus the Final Four that everyone expected them to make? Can Duke just shock the world here? Kind of funny to say Duke is shocking the world, but that would be a surprise to see Duke advancing. Now, Duke, NC State could be an interesting ACC matchup that we didn't see in the ACC tournament. But to see Duke versus Houston to set up potentially that surprise, or is it going to be Houston versus Marquette or Duke versus Marquette? This is an interesting part of the bracket for me. And then number one on my list of the Sweet 16 matchup that I'm looking forward to the most, you don't get to see this too often in a Sweet 16, a rematch of a national championship game from the year before, San Diego State versus UConn. So those are my top matchups that I'm looking forward to for the Sweet 16. Thank you for finding the NBA music, the basketball music on short notice.
Wasn't too hidden.
Am I missing anything for you? I mean, you know.
I like those.
You know, I was considering, you know, Creighton versus Tennessee. That might be this Clemson, Arizona was the only other one that I left out. I left out Illinois and Iowa State, but I'm ready to roll on those fronts.
Those are some good games you picked.
What about you, TJ? You got one that you're looking forward to?
I mean, you know, like the Duke-Houston game, like I said, to think that, like, Duke has to pull an upset, you know, it's just a world, college basketball world that we're living in.
Right.
But, of course, you know, I kind of, you know, I'm not adopting them as another team, Smitch, so don't put their banner on the picture. But, you know, I'm in the, you know, DJ Burns and what this run that the Wolfpack has gone on. So I'm really interested to see, you know, what's going to come out of that.
Games are tonight, by the way, in Los Angeles, California.
For some reason, I feel like low-key Creighton, Tennessee is going to be a good game too.
Well,
tomorrow though.
And I know, Dan Hurley was saying that things were set up to make things difficult for UConn because, you know, Iowa State is particularly tough and Illinois is tough and San Diego State, they played last year. Yep. But, I mean, UConn and Boston is, shall we say, a nice little leg up.
Right.
And so San Diego State flying all the way across the country to go take on UConn in New England.
You almost can't fly further than that, right?
Right. And then the other matchup I mentioned, North Carolina and Alabama and Clemson and Arizona, downtown here. Downtown here in the home of the Lakers and Clippers in crypto.
The Clippers for a few more weeks.
So that's tonight. And the Clippers for a few more weeks. I like it. Very good. That's those are the matchups tonight. So, and so we were keeping an eye on some pro day action with Drake May going down today and Michael Penix Jr. going down today. You know, in terms of the NFL world that we're all keeping an eye on for this draft. You know, we're going to be discussing it tomorrow a little bit more on our program. The What's More Likely segment will handle all of that. One thing I do want to discuss here, and we really haven't hit it very much, is a conversation that I'm hearing out there about how Caitlin Clark is not comporting herself very well out on the court. That we're seeing her, you know, give a cheap shot here and there. We're seeing her complain about calls. We're seeing her kind of lip reading and seeing some language from her that one would say is not befitting of a role model that she is being cast as here. And I can tell you this personally, as somebody who has a daughter at home who does consider Caitlin Clark a role model. And I have no problem at all with the way that she's conducting herself whatsoever. And I have absolutely no problem seeing her have a significant part of a red ass on the court. I have no problem with whatever I am seeing. And the only problem I have is people potentially, I can't put words in people's mouths, but having a double standard for a female athlete that we would not have for a male athlete. Now then, I know LeBron does get some crap and some guff for constantly complaining about calls, and I know that NBA players do get some crap for complaining about calls, but they're not then cast as less than a role model because of it.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed seeing the byplay that sometimes the ESPN cameras have caught between Caitlin Clark and her father basically telling her to shut up and get back on the court. It was what it appears to be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was, he might have been screaming at the refs who his daughter was having a problem with, wanting and asking for a call. But for me, to see Caitlin Clark being cast as less than a role model for behavior that we normally would have ascribed to a male player and saying that he's just standing up and has a spine or is defending a teammate or is just conducting himself in a way that we would normally cast as somebody who is a tough basketball player, and then we see her and we're saying she's less than a role model. Now, I have a problem with that. And I also have a problem with my daughter. Just can't wait to see her next game, her next performance. And if there is a moment where she'll use a bad word or something, you know, I'll tell Tay, you know, that's probably not going to work for you here at age 10.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. But the rest of it is something that we would ascribe to a male player any day of the week is no big deal. And this, to me, seems to be a big deal for way too many people. And, you know, for the big three to throw $5 million on the table to her, I think is an excellent example of how she is standing out and is somebody that is worth having at the front and center of your league or your campaign or anything to do with your business that you're trying to grow and trying to have somebody as a spokesperson for. Clearly, the big three doesn't have a problem with the way that she's potentially conducting herself every now and then. So I don't want to make that much too big of a deal of it, but I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, you know, Rich, it's just this thing, right? It's social media, and it's a lot of guys who are maybe at, like, immature, not confident in themselves, who will always make those stupid posts about, you know, women playing sports, even though I promise you some of these girls or women are much better than the people who are knocking them in the comments. So it's just a battle that these women unfortunately have to fight, which is so stupid. I completely agree. You know, like you said, you're a fan of saying red ass, like a hard ass out there.
I kind of dig it.
That's what it takes to get the job done sometimes. Do they want them just to paint their nails and be petite? No, these women are out there getting it, man. And, you know, me personally, I'm a fan of women's basketball. Altoona High, 1986 and 1988, USA Today national champions, Rich. Like, not just state champions, national champions. So I've always grown up with women who could play ball. I grew up playing with them, watching the game. So it's an exciting time for women's sports. And
it is that.
It's getting more and more accepted. Because like I said, when you go on social media, you see some of the comments, and you've just got to shake your head at some of the idiots who say some of this dumb stuff. Now, that being said, her and the big three, though, I don't know, man, because, you know, those are still some, you know, grown ass men and their ex NBA players who might take take umbrage a little to this woman coming in. I don't know how that one would work out, to be honest with you. But hey, if it's something she wants to try, go for it.
I don't know if she's going to try it.
I don't think she needs to. Like, the women's game continue to help grow that. And I think she's in a perfect spot to do so.
Yeah, she's going to Indianapolis to start her WNBA career. And you heard Casey Wasserman, who definitely would know these things in the world of sports media and certainly in the world of sports and marketing. He would know that she's going to make a mint off the court as a WNBA player. Absolutely. And it was great to have Casey here for a full hour. I want to thank Darius Robinson for starting for being here on our show in hour number three. And Tisha Thompson, I mean, the fact that
that story,
if you missed what she had to say again about Shohei Ohtani, make sure you stay tuned right here on the Rich Eisen Show for our rear that's about to start right now on Roku, or just check it out on our podcast or your YouTube page. In the meantime, before we go, just want to let you know to put the Game Time app on a mobile device right near you, your phone, your tablet, however you wish to buy tickets. You should use Game Time. It's easy to use. It is so easy for you to navigate the site. You could buy tickets in just two taps. You get views from all seats in the venue. Last minute tickets with the new Major League Baseball partnership that they have with Game Time. The ticket prices actually go down as you get closer to the first pitch. And of course, there's the all-in pricing, as always, where you can make sure you get everything in front of you. You know what your tickets cost before you even purchase and hit the button to buy them. Take the guesswork right out of tickets by buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Again, terms apply. Create an account, redeem our code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the Rich. Thank you, sir, for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll speak to everyone on the radio on Friday and wrap up the show on Roku in a sec.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.